from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Let's do this. Another day, another dollar, another edition of The Drive. You're listening to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com, and the Odyssey app. My name is Carrington Harrison. Very excited to be here with you on this wonderful Thursday. We are off a little bit early today because of the Kansas City Royals. Pre-game for the Royals starts today at 4:30. We will step aside and hand things off to Josh Vernier. We are going to begin with the Royals coming up here in just a little bit. Rob, we do not have any guests on the show scheduled today. It is just me, you, Rob. The text line, 913-586-7610. If you want to chime in, we don't have a lot of time today, so I'm not in the business of wasting my time. I'm certainly not in the business of wasting your time. We will get to the Royals here coming up in a bit, but not before we do this.
Pizza time on The Drive. Carrington, dial me up right now. 913-586-7610. Caller number 6 wins a pizza from our friends over at Pizza Tasio. Pizza Tasio is Kansas City's best New York style pizza, and they have taken over the town. They lovingly use 100% whole milk mozzarella, all organic tomato sauce with locally grown fresher ingredients, all made by KC guys who know and love pizza. They also have a killer selection of craft and local beers, plus unique wines. So whether it's a slice or two or you're hungry enough for a whole pie, be sure to visit them now at pizzatasio.com. That's pizza, T-A-S-C-I-O.com.
I need you guys to do me a couple of favors. Number one, I need you listening to The Drive each day at 2 o'clock. Number two, I need you to tell one friend. I don't need you to tell two friends that if you want some of the best pizza in Kansas City, you also want to stay up to date on the Kansas City Royals, the best place to do that is with us right here at 610 Sports Radio. Let's dive deep into this. We are going to talk some football. The football season has another unofficial start today. Tonight is the Hall of Fame game. Is that game on NBC today? I know that we have Olympic coverage. I don't think they're moving the Olympics because of the Hall of Fame game, but it is football. What's the plan for the Hall of Fame game today?
It is on ESPN tonight. So okay. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call for Bears and Texans.
Yeah, because I didn't think that NBC, as they've been getting an average of 32 million viewers a night, I didn't think they were moving the Olympics to USA for the Hall of Fame game. I imagine that game will be back on NBC next year. You guys know how the NFL loves to move these games around. We'll get to that here coming up in a bit. This is where I would like to begin today's show. It is funny how things work, because I would argue that we are in the exact same place with the Kansas City Royals that we were in at the beginning of June. There are two definitive things that we know about the Royals. And we knew this at the very beginning of the summer. And as we are past the halfway point of the summer, your kids are getting ready to go back to school. We are not really any closer to having this question answered. The Royals are really good against the White Sox. They did exactly what you are supposed to do against a bad baseball team. They pummeled them. That is nothing to feel ashamed of. Minnesota has also done the exact same thing that the Royals have done. They have beat up on the White Sox. And you should. They stink. Denny Matthews, who has been the voice of the Royals since the first day they played, he said he believes they are the worst baseball team that he has ever seen. You guys know how bad you got to be for Denny Matthews to say that. He has been the play-by-play broadcaster for the Royals, and he says they are the worst team I've ever seen. They stink. The Royals did exactly what you were supposed to do against the White Sox. They pummeled them. That's number one thing we know. The second thing we know is the Royals, at times, struggle with everybody else. They are exactly 500. They are not good against those teams. They are not bad against those teams. They're just fine against those teams. We know enough about the postseason that if you still have the goal of them making the postseason, which I do and hopefully you still have, they are going to need to be better than fine against those teams. We did the numbers. In this expanded wild card, there are 12 teams that have been wild card teams. So not a great sample size, but also not a very teeny tiny sample size. We have a little bit of data at this point. There have been 12 teams. We are going to add 6 more of those teams at the end of this season. The average number of wins that you have needed to grab one of those wild card spots is 90. If you want to lock yourself into the postseason, you are going to need to win 90 games. Think of it like in the NFL. And generally, if you win 10 games, you feel like you're fine. If you win 10 games, that's not usually going to be enough to help you win your division in most cases. You can win it with 10, but most of the time to win your division, you're going to need more than 10 wins. But if you want to be one of the top 7 teams that make the postseason in your conference in the NFL, 10's a really good number. You can get to the playoffs with 9 wins, but you're going to need a little bit of help in order to do that. So if you look this up, the Royals, they have 53 games remaining on their schedule. 53 left. They need to get to 90 in order to make the postseason or at least feel good about it. Rob, we did the math. Tell the people the number. What do the Royals need to do over the course of the next 53 games, over the next 2 months? How many games on average, can you expect they need to win down the stretch in order for them to make the postseason?
They have 53 games remaining. So the math is very simple, Carrington. They've won 60 games. They have to go 30-23 down the stretch, which is not, no one's asking them to play 800 baseball or go undefeated or do some impossible task. That is playing a win percentage of 55%. Win 55% of your games between here and the final day of baseball season. 30-23 gets you to 90, and you feel like you're locked into the postseason.
Do you want to take a guess based on the numbers that you just gave us? And we went through these together. We double and triple checked them. I wanted to be sure. You said the Royals need to win 55% of their games in order to make the postseason, at least feel good about it. Now, you can win it, or you can be one of the wild card teams with less than 90. It has happened before. There have only been 2 teams that have made the postseason, at least as a wild card team, with less than 85 wins. You generally need to be in that 90 range. Now, maybe you get to 89 and that's enough, or 88. History tells us you are going to have a really difficult time making the postseason with 83 wins or 84 wins. You usually are on the outside looking in if that's how many wins you finish your season with. So 90 is the mark. They need to win 55% of their games. Did you know right now that the Royals are 60-49? They have a 550 win percentage. The Royals over the next 53 games need to simply continue to be what they are. That's it. Nothing more, nothing less. They don't need to get hot. They don't need to play some unrealistic stretch of baseball. The numbers tell you they are a 55% win percentage team. They have been that way with the White Sox games included, in which they have won 90% of those games. So I'm not here to discredit the Royals' wins. You get them how they come. Minnesota is also a wild card team. They play the same number of games against the White Sox that the Royals do. So you do not have to apologize for your schedule or the division that you are in. But the main point of this is we are in the same place that we were 60 days ago. I know the Royals can beat up on the White Sox. That part of their schedule is over. They need to be that same team against Cleveland. They need to be that same team against Minnesota. They need to be that same team against Boston or St. Louis or the Phillies that come into town. They need to play 55% winning baseball over the course of the next 2 months. If they do that, they will make the postseason. If they don't do that, they will miss the postseason. That is as simple as I can explain it to you guys. Hopefully you follow the math and we broke this down. 90 wins over the last 12 wildcard teams is the average that you need to grab one of those spots. That means the Royals need to go 30-23. You could win 27 games and still possibly make the postseason, but when you start to do the math and look at the numbers, it gets dicey, and your percentage of making the wild card goes down with every win fewer than 30 that you have. If you win 90 games, according to our numbers, you have a 100% chance of making the postseason based on these numbers. Every win less than that, you open yourself up to needing help from somebody else. Let's avoid that if you're the Royals. We are almost done with this baseball season. You have less than 2 months of games to go. You have 53 games left in this season. We have found ourselves in a place that not many of us thought they were going to be here. I think the best way to describe this is it's political season. We know how many electoral college votes you are going to need to be the president. We know. We have the answer. You know when you're watching and they're going through the chart and there's some red on the chart, there's some blue on the chart, there's still some white on the chart because we haven't decided what side you're going to vote for. And then they start to tell you, well, in order for you to be president, you need to win these states. And this is how you get to that number. You need to win Florida. You need to win Pennsylvania. You need to win North Carolina. Pyah! You need to do all of that. We have the electoral college votes. We know how many you need. You need to win 30 games. I don't care how you do it. I don't care who you do it against. I don't care about the who, what, when, where, and why. This is professional sports. It is a very simple pass or fail business in this. Win 30 games over the next 2 months. Go to postseason. And I think you probably give yourself a chance to win the division. You maybe don't. But if you can get to 90, you maybe got a chance to completely avoid this wild card thing altogether, and you can just be the team that wins the American League Central. So we can take you guys' phone calls on this, 913-586-7610. We can read your text. We have done the math. We are here. I am not interested in hearing your other shoe could potentially drop, or they're the Royals, or your negativity. I'm not here for your gosh darn negativity. I am here telling you the numbers and the facts of how the Royals can make the postseason. It is not a pipe dream anymore. It is a reality. It is a realistic objective and goal for the Kansas City Royals. So my message to them, I hope, is the same message that you have. Go do it. Go get it done. Let's have a September that none of us thought we could have, where we could have the best football team in the world and maybe the most exciting baseball story simultaneously happening at the exact same time. Did you know that the same week that the Chiefs open up their schedule against the Baltimore Ravens is the same week that the Royals have a home series against the Guardians? When was the last time that we had a sports week like that in Kansas City? It's been quite some time. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck? Remember, Mike's got this.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction,
Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Someone on the text line asked a good question. C-Dot, I hear your numbers about the Royals needing to win 30 games to make the postseason. What teams can we beat up on, or do we need to steal a game or two from? There really aren't many teams left that you can say the Royals can beat up on. Now, they don't play just juggernauts the rest of the way. This isn't the stretch like they had in June where they played four teams that were all leading their division. But I would say, Rob, in terms of the bad teams in Major League Baseball, the remainder of the season, they only have three games left against those teams. They only have three games left a team that you, as of right now, you think, yes, they're out of it. That's the Los Angeles Angels. Every other team that they play has something to play for or is viable the rest of the way. So not all of them are good teams. You play Cincinnati, for example, who is 52-56. Not a playoff team, but certainly not the White Sox, A's, one of those kind of teams. That part of the Royals' schedule is over. There are no gimme games. There are no easy teams left on the schedule. I would say that there are probably, now looking at it, there's probably two of those series. You have three games against the Angels at home. You have to win that series. You got the Washington Nationals toward the end of the season. Washington is 49-60, and the Angels are a bad team. Everybody else you play is viable in some way. So this series you have against the Detroit Tigers, they're 52-57, have a negative run differential. But this isn't a series you can just go into there expecting to just run over the Detroit Tigers. One of the, I would say, beautiful things about this baseball season is all the teams feel like they are bunched together. There's a couple of teams that have run off in front. There's a couple of teams that are bringing up the caboose, Oakland, Chicago, the Angels. But for the most part, once you get outside of the teams you think are the top five, team six through about 25 in Major League Baseball feel very, very bunched up. There are no more teams for the Royals to get fat and happy on. You're going to have to start winning series like you had the opportunity against the Cubs, like you had the opportunity against the Arizona Diamondbacks. You got to continue to win series.
I would tell you, though, it's a new opportunity. That sounded very coach speaky by me. New opportunity, though, because you got a lot of teams on the schedule that look like you. Like the Royals and the Tigers. I know the Royals are better than the Tigers. They look pretty similar in the standings, albeit the Royals are a little better. The Royals and the Red Sox, they have a series coming up next week. They look pretty similar in the standings. Royals and the Cardinals play a weird two-game set next weekend. they look pretty similar in the standings. You keep going down the line. There are series with the Twins still on the schedule. The Guardians are probably a little better than you, but you've performed well against the Guardians this year. There are ample opportunities to beat teams that are in your weight class now. You can no longer just throttle the hapless White Sox. Those days are done. And if you watched a single minute of baseball over the last 3 days, you saw, boy, the White Sox make the 06 Royals blush with how bad they are. It's a yikes franchise. But there are now chances to teams that you are slightly ahead of the standings in, go head-to-head with, push them down the standings, and bump yourself up. The Tigers are a good example of that, and you start a four-game set with them tonight.
You guys know that I love a good radio rant. You don't get into this business if you don't love a good radio rant. I want to play for you Dan Bernstein, who is a legend in Chicago. He works at Danny's station at 670 The Score. Here's what he had to say about the Chicago White Sox. Listen to this.
Everybody on the White Sox is a freaking weasel. Stop being weasels. You have the general manager saying, oh, you know, I would trade this guy, but he's hurtful to me, and I don't know, really, I'm really taken aback, and I couldn't do this. So that's, you know, I would have loved to have done this and this and this, but I really can't because he and his agents, they talked about things that I didn't think they were going to talk about. And then the manager, not going to be my fault, you bastards, better play better, batting practice, go run. It's not going to be me. I mean, how obtuse, how unaware of anything around him must Pedro Grifol be? Like, the lack of accountability. Nobody's got a thumb. Nobody's got the ass covering. And it's always been this way. The people peeking out of their offices and furtively glancing in different directions down the hallway and then sneaking back in and closing. Not my fault. No, this is my fault. It's his fault. That's how Getz got the job in the first place. That's how he got the job. Everybody's a weasel. Of course the players are miserable.
Sometimes it feels good just to know that ain't you. I remember those rants coming from Kansas City. We could probably go back in the archives and pull a DA, pull a Bob Fesco, maybe a Nick Wright rant about how bad the Royals are. It wouldn't be that hard to find. Probably you could find one of me. It wasn't that long ago, Rob, that me and you were in the Royals doghouse for getting our jokes off at their expense. But you know what? That time is not now. You have passed that on like the baton. Like the Olympics, you have passed that on to someone else. And now you can laugh at the White Sox, who are absolutely dreadful. There's no other way to put it. They are absolutely dreadful. Rob, the White Sox are 27-84. They have not won a game in the second half of the season. In fact, the last win that the Chicago White Sox had, this is the last time that they were able to go in that line and dap up everybody, was July 10th. Was July 10th. Rob, the Chicago White Sox won 3 games in the month of July. They won 3. Oh, they're bad. They're real bad. They are weasels. They're terrible. So it just feels good sometimes. It feels good to sit on your porch, you know, and just look at the rest of the neighborhood, you know, and kind of laugh a little bit. They used to laugh at you. It wasn't that long ago. You know, the White Sox, you know, they were winning World Series. They had Frank Thomas and Paul Konerko. You know, the White Sox, you know, they were a storied, proud franchise. Now you look up and they're the Oakland A's. They're a poverty team. They're the Bad News Bears. They're awful. Weasels. We got to start incorporating that more in the sports lexicon. Weasels. They just got a team full of weasels, Rob. They're weasels.
I mean, radio rants are great. Do you know what that sounded like? I'm sure if we sifted through the archives, I promise 2012 for the Chiefs, someone was going off like that.
Probably.
Complaining about the GM, players' feelings.
I could have gone pumpkin picking.
There's, like... it seems like the problem in Chicago is beyond just bad baseball. Like, we have watched a lot of bad baseball in Kansas City. Hell, 2022 was bad baseball in Kansas City. Last year was bad baseball in Kansas City. But you never felt like the people in the organization were weasels, and the manager and the GM are playing CYA, and there's distrust in the hallways. You never got that kind of feel from the Royals. The 2012 Chiefs had that feel, or maybe it was 2011.
They did.
Whatever year Kent Babb had the story about them bugging the phones, whatever year that came out, that has that kind of feel. Can you imagine having the organization feel like they're more interested in the me than the we, and the product on the field is just getting boat raced every single night? I mean, there were dozens of fans there yesterday, just dozens to watch the hapless White Sox. That's as bad as a baseball organization I've seen in a long, long time.
No, you're 100% accurate. You know what? The only thing that we really need to come out of this season from the White Sox is we need one of these kind of moments.
I turn and look, there's a little kitty cat in our kitchen. So I said, what are you doing in here, little kitty cat? By that time, the cat turns, tries to get back out. That screen won't go that way. Cat starts going, meow, meow, all crazy. And I told our players, we need more dogs. Bo's barking in the back. I have to go shut Bo up. Mel's like, what's going on? I said, it's a cat in the house. Cat in the house? I said, yeah, there's a cat in the house. So I told our players, I tried to let it out the front door. Meow, meow, the cat's still going crazy in there. And I told our players, you need to be more like a dog. We don't need a bunch of cats in here. Yeah, looking in the mirror. Do I look good? I got my extra bands on. I got my other shoes on. Be a dog. We don't need no meows. We don't need no cats. We need more dogs.
The White Sox, clearly, they don't have enough dogs. That's the problem. If they had more dogs, they'd be in a better position. But instead, Rob, they have a lot of this going on.
When it comes to legalized bank robbing, I'm the best.
You think Chris Getz is a legalized bank robber?
I mean, there's some evidence to point to it.
He might be the best legalized bank robber that they potentially have. He's the star of bank robbing for them. All right, let's stop talking about a bad team. Let's talk about a good team. Let's talk about your Kansas City Chiefs. Earlier today, Matt Verderam was on the station. Shout out to my guy, Matt Verderam, doing fantastic work. It's illustrated. Here he is talking about Rashee Rice. He believes that he is unlikely to be suspended in 2024. Listen to this.
It's still up in the air. Now, you do hear people say stuff like, well, they can't suspend him yet because the legal process hasn't played out. That's not true. The NFL could suspend him tomorrow,
right,
if they feel like that's the correct move. And the NFLPA, can't really fight it. That being said, I do agree with your premise. Like, we're into August now. We are less than 10 days away from the preseason starting for the Chiefs. Preseason, technically, the NFL starts tonight with the Hall of Fame game. I think the further we go now, like, you're getting to a point where, I don't think they're going to suspend him during the year. I just don't see that happening. So I think he's either suspended now, like, probably within the next 2 weeks,
yeah,
or he's suspended, if he's going to be suspended, assumingly so, next season, before next season. So, like, I don't see any world where it's week 10 and the NFL's like, hey, now he gets an 8-game suspension. They're not going to want to make that a headline during the season. They're going to want to do it when, it's not as much in the spotlight. So, yeah, with every passing day, it becomes more and more probable he's not going to get suspended.
That's where I am as well. That was Matt Verderam of Sports Illustrated. I hear what he's saying about the NFL could suspend him without the legal process. That's just not really how they've played it over the course of the last couple of years. I do think that the NFL, some of this has just become a little bit easier to understand with this process. I think it took Goodell some time to kind of find his way. I think the CBA had to be changed because it provided a lot more clarity on these things. But I think the NFL has been kind of consistent when it comes to these things about what gets you suspended and what doesn't get you suspended. Everyone agrees that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. Like, you don't know one person that doesn't think that he's not going to be suspended. You remember whenever Tyreek had his off the field issues, there was just a lot of, hey, this suspension's not going to be as bad as you guys think it's going to be. And then we ended up getting the information. Everyone comes to the same conclusion that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended. We are just trying to figure out the when. I maintain I do not think he is going to be suspended in 2024. If you're asking me right now to put my money on it, I think Rashee Rice misses the first part of next season in 2025. It usually takes them around 14 months to get all this stuff figured out and make their ruling. So I think he will play in this year's season opener. I do not think he will play in next year's. Let's keep talking Chiefs coming up on the other side. We'll talk about their wide receiver room. We'll also talk about tonight's Hall of Fame game and two of the more hyped teams in the National Football League. Keep it right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive with Carrington Harrison, the only place in Kansas City that gives you a random Royals lineup.
Baseball with the Royals.
Brought to you by DM Injury Law. Have you or a loved one been in a car wreck? Contact DM Injury Law today and get the money you deserve. Car wreck. Remember, Mike's got this. 610 Sports Radio.
Let's keep talking about your Kansas City Chiefs. Matt Verderam was on Cody and Gold earlier today. He was at training camp. Here's what he said about the Chiefs wide receiver room.
The thing that struck me with the Chiefs receivers today, other than the speed, is just the amount of depth. Like when I was watching Worthy, he had a couple plays, he had one big bomb down the field, you know, over Brian Cook. And you're watching that kid and you're thinking, the way Andy uses his rookie receivers and the way he kind of shelters them, he's probably the fourth passing option on this team, yeah. Right? Like, it's probably Kelce, Brown, and Rice in some order. So if Xavier Worthy is your fourth option when you're throwing the football, that's pretty good. It's certainly in stark contrast to the disaster that it was a year ago.
Rob, you and I have had this conversation over the course of this offseason. I think he's 100% right when talking about the depth on this team and why you should feel good. I guess the first part of this would be, what he just described about Xavier Worthy is why I think it's going to be so hard for him to hit his over-under on yards this season. That's why I think it's going to be really difficult for him to get the amount of yardage that he would need to have his over-under. I mean, right now on DraftKings, his over-under is at 750 yards. I just think that's a really hard number to get to. If you are thinking in an offense, you are the fourth or fifth option. Pacheco's ahead of him. Kelce's ahead of him. Rice is ahead of him. Brown is ahead of him. If you're the fifth option in an offense, you just don't put up gigantic numbers in this way. 750 yards? He can have a Jaxon Smith-Njigba kind of year who had 628 yards, and we still feel really good about the player. He does his role, and you feel optimistic about him heading into the 2025 offseason and next year. I just think it's going to be really hard for him to hit the number that they think he can hit this year, just given where he is in the offense. Now, something happens to Rashee Rice. He gets suspended. An injury pops up. That can change my thought process on Xavier Worthy. It's a good problem to have. Your room has gotten to the point where you don't need your rookie wide receiver to have 950 yards the way you did last season in order for you to be successful. You have certainly elevated the talent on this roster and got it to that point. But looking at his over-under, this is just going to be a really, really hard number to clear.
I think the point he made there, the point you're making about the depth of the wide receiver room is really important. Like, last year, the wide receiver core for the Chiefs was obviously not good, and we talked about it, and we should have. It was bad. It was Rashee Rice and a bunch of dudes who are now bagging groceries at your local Hy-Vee. It was bad, but they didn't just fix it by adding one star. Like, we've heard Mike Evans say that he considered the Chiefs. They didn't just go add one big name to the mix. Brett Veach and co. realized we need to have depth, because last year, one of the problems was it was Rashee Rice and no one. They expected 650 probably-ish yards from MVS. They didn't get that. They expected big things out of Kadarius Toney. They didn't get that. They expected Justin Watson to take a step forward. He was just fine. He was the same player, but they didn't get that. They expected Sky Moore to be more than he was. They didn't get that. And they realized if you're going to rely on two, three players and they all, you know, bottom out, you're in big, big trouble. So we have to have a larger grouping. So now there's four or five guys in that room that you can rely on. And if two and three bottom out, you're still okay depth and weaponry-wise. You're still in an okay spot. if Xavier Worthy falls short of his over-under, which I think he will as well, that's not a sign that he bottomed out. That's probably a sign that Marquise Brown was really good, or Rashee Rice took another step forward. If Marquise Brown isn't good, the team isn't hindered like, oh no, how can we overcome this? Where last year it felt like, because the wide receivers kept letting Mahomes down, there was a thought, how do you fix this? How do you get over this massive hump that's been created in your own room? That's not the feeling anymore because of the depth and quality of depth in that room, and we've joked about it. We talk a lot about wide receiver 7 on this show. You know why? 5 through 6 seem pretty rock steady. You feel pretty good about what you got 1 through 5, and maybe if 2 or 3 bottom out again, you still have 2 or 3 quality receivers, which you just didn't have last year.
Someone on the text line, CDOT, that number feels high. I think Hardman's rookie year is a fair bar for Worthy. I mean, Mecole Hardman's rookie year, he had 26 catches for 538 yards. I mean, his yards per catch were just ridiculous. That he averaged 20 yards per catch. He also had 6 touchdowns. I don't think that his yards per catch is going to be as high as that. I also think he just has more catches than Mecole did as well. I mean, I look at Tyreek's number, and like we're kind of going through what Xavier Worthy right now on DraftKings. His over-under is 750 yards. Tyreek, his first year. I think if you ask every single Chiefs fan right now, would you take Tyreek's first year as a starter? Now, I think his numbers, I mean, his yards per catch, Rob, his yards per catch were 9.7 that first year. That's not really indicative of the kind of player that Tyreek is in the National Football League. But Tyreek, his first year, had 61 catches for 593 yards and 6 touchdowns. Now, again, I think that Worthy is just going to be more explosive than this. I don't think he's averaging 9.7. To give you guys an example, last year Tyreek Hill averaged 15 yards a catch. That is a drastic difference to go from 9 yards a catch to 15 yards a catch. That is a legitimate big play down the field kind of weapon. 750 just doesn't feel right to me for him. His number to me is probably closer to 625, somewhere in that range. I'm not telling you guys to fade Chiefs players. I want you to be hopeful and optimistic about him. I'm just telling you that I've already faded Xavier Worthy. I did that a month ago when it was even higher than that. You could have got it at 800 a month ago. And I'm like, no chance he has more than 800 yards of the season. So I have already done that this year. I would highly encourage you guys to go out there and do the same. That is our guy Matt Verderam. He was on Cody and Gold earlier today. He was out at Chiefs training camp. Rob, let's talk about the two teams that are playing today in the Hall of Fame game. Now, we are not talking about the Hall of Fame game. Let's talk about the teams that are in the Hall of Fame game. That is two completely different things. I have told you, once we make our postseason pick, one of the teams that I will be picking to grab a wild card spot is going to be the Chicago Bears. I look at their offense. I look at their depth. I look at the weapons that they have put around their quarterback. I like this Bears team. You got a 1,000-yard rusher in DeAndre Swift. You got DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, and Romo Odunze. You have one of the better wide receiver rooms in the league. You got a capable tight end in Cole Kmet. You made some additions on that offensive line. You've got a team that I think is going to have a capable defense. I think Chicago is grabbing one of those spots. I think their division's too tough for me to entertain the possibility of them winning the division. I really like Green Bay. I like the Lions the same way that everybody else does. I think Minnesota's maybe a little bit more competitive than people are giving them credit for, but I don't think they're going to be a team that really competes for a playoff spot. I also think that the schedule just kind of lines itself up where I think the Bears are going to have a little bit of room. I mean, they have a stretch over a month where they play Carolina, Jacksonville, Washington, and Arizona. They then follow that up with New England. I mean, they just have a couple of stretches in their schedule where I think you can gobble up wins a little bit, and 9 wins is probably going to be enough to grab you one wild card spot in the NFC. Might not be enough in the AFC. Last year we saw Green Bay was the 7th team and they went 9-8 and they made the postseason. I think this year that team could be the Chicago Bears. So I'm high on the Bears coming into the season. I think the hype is only going to get bigger with Hard Knocks, which starts, I believe Hard Knocks is on Tuesday of next week. So I believe we are here. It is now Hard Knocks season on HBO.
Let me ask you this, because I know you're in on the Bears, and I'm not sold yet, but I do love Caleb Williams, so I could easily be sold. But doing the math of it, I assume you have the Packers and Lions in the playoffs. Like, let's just, from that division, there's 2 playoff spots. I assume you have the Eagles and Cowboys in the playoffs. That's two more playoff spots. You got to have a division winner from the South, and then you're going to have a division winner from the West. That leaves two spots left. So you're telling me in the grouping of Tampa Bay, Atlanta, Chicago, Seattle, Arizona, LA, you think Chicago is one of the teams that comes out on that? Because if you're doing the math, as a person who's in on the Rams, I know you're in on the Rams, mm-hmm. to do the math of this, you're going to have to kick out a Falcons or Bucks and have a one-and-done division. And I know that
I do have a one-and-done division. So
you,
I think it's
you don't think
that
the
one.
Bucks bounce back. You don't think the Bucks do it again?
No, I don't. I think it's hard to do that if you don't have the quarterback. I think it's hard to be a consistent postseason team. It's not really the way the NFL works. You can have a year where you pop up, you win nine games, but if you've got inconsistent quarterback play, like I believe Tampa Bay has inconsistent quarterback play, this is the year you just take a little bit of a step back and they win seven games this year as opposed to winning nine last year. I think the division has gotten a little bit tougher. I think Carolina's not going to be the worst team in the league. I also think Atlanta's better. I think that cuts into your win share and you take a little bit of a step back.
I guess it sounds like one of the reasons you're higher in Chicago than me is I might be higher on the NFC South than you.
That's fair.
And I'm down on the Rams. Like, I'm just going to continue to fade the Rams. I'm not a believer in the Rams, which might be one of the differences. But it feels like the Bucs didn't get worse, and they were a solid football team last year, and the Falcons got better. I could see that division, because you have some auto wins locked in, being a multiple bid league, which just makes the numbers game tough on a team like the Bears. But the Bears are fascinating. Not tonight. I don't care about was it Tyson or Tyler Badgett.
Yeah, one of them. Somebody.
I don't care about them. Tonight, they're not interesting.
Somebody Badgett.
They are one of the more interesting teams in the NFL this year because of Caleb Williams. One player made them rise from who cares, dregs the league, to I would watch them play football on Sunday.
I would like to get back to the Houston Texans here in a bit. I just would like to read one text. C-Dot, this feels like deja vu from last year. You guys talked yourself into saying this was a deep wide receiver room in last year's camp. Rob, when did this happen? I was the only person last year that gave any concerns about their wide receiver room, and you guys kept telling me they'll figure it out. They got Patrick Mahomes. The text line, y'all be making up stories about me that I don't like. It's one thing for you guys to call me Chargers Dot. I can live with Chargers Dot. Now I was high on the wide receivers last year. I was the only person that was like, I don't know about this Kadarius Toney thing. I don't know. It just doesn't seem to make a lot of sense to me. I was – everybody liked
people.
Justin Ross last year. I was not a huge Justin Ross fan. I felt like I was one of the few people that was like, hey, they have one proven receiver on their team. They have way more question marks than answers in their wide receiver room. And I was told all offseason, shut up. They got Patrick Mahomes. Why are you talking about this?
I feel like
you guys can lie on me for a lot of things. Mm-hmm. Don't you put that evil on me like I was a believer in Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore. I was never.
I mean, I bought a little bit of the Sky Moore Kool-Aid, and I was wrong. Very wrong. But that's how it goes. There's been one show in town that has been consistent on Kadarius Toney.
It's been us.
And it's this one.
It's been us. Yeah, don't put that evil on us.
When we were telling you he's not a viable NFL wide receiver,
yeah.
You know, we got told how explosive he is and quick twitch, and did you guys see the punt return of the Super Bowl? And we said it doesn't matter. And guess what? We were right. We also were the one preaching Justin Ross is a nice story, but he's not an actual thing. And if Justin Ross couldn't play on last year's team, he definitely can't play on this year's team. I don't know where this the drive love the wide receivers talk came
what
from.
What are we doing here?
Now, someone, this show did love Ronald Jones, but that was only half of us.
You know what? This is the thing. I have enough takes that I get wrong that you guys don't have to throw wrong takes on me. I'll claim the ones. I thought Ronald Jones was going to help this team. I had questions one year about their cornerback room, and they ended up being right. Now, I don't think I was wrong there. I said go get James Bradbury, and he was an all-pro. Like, yeah, okay, all right. We both could have been right in that scenario. I get things wrong that when I'm wrong, I'll just tell you guys. Yeah, I was wrong about that. I mean, last year, I thought they were going to lose to Baltimore. I was wrong about things. I'm cool with being wrong on things. That's the game. I'm going to get some things right. I'm going to get some things wrong. You are not putting on me last year. I said they had a deep wide receiver room. All offseason, I kept saying their number one need in the draft was go draft a wide receiver. For the last 3 years, I've been saying draft a wide receiver in round one. No, I'm not letting you guys do this. No.
Remember when I called the wide receiver room scrubs and bums and our group text blew up because I was being disrespectful?
Well, they
were scrubs and bums. That's what this show was saying from the jump.
Someone on the text line says, check the tape, C-Dots. I think you were in on KC's wide receiver room last year. Okay. All right. The text line now is split. Some of you were like, yeah. Some of you were like, someone says you were dogging Sky Moore all season. I was doing that to Sky Moore. Now I believed in him. No, you guys stop.
Lad got mad at you. He's like, you don't need a stat every week about Sky Moore. Yeah, yes, we do.
Yeah. You guys know this is what happened last year. And we can move on from this and talk about the Texans. I do want to talk about the Texans. I was critical of something, and you guys said, shut up, they got Patrick Mahomes. You guys tell me that's not a realistic scenario? When I was like, hey, I wonder about this wide receiver thing. Who has Pat ever made a really good receiver? I remember asking these things. I remember this.
Someone does bring up a fair point. We were hard on the wide receivers, but I was a Sky Moore believer, and you thought Richie James could be a thing. And we were.
I did like Richie James.
We were wrong about that, but on the whole, we said they stink.
You know what? I don't mind that. Someone says, see, I remember last year you said you were concerned about the wide receiver room, but you were going to trust KC that they knew what they were doing. That sounds like something I said. Yeah, I didn't like their wide receiver room, but yeah, okay. I can believe I said that. I was never high on their wide receivers. I did like Richie James, though. All right, you know, I can live with that. I mean, I've gotten it wrong like 3 years in a row on the guy that I'm high on. I liked Richie James last year. I liked Ronald Jones the year before that.
Who you got this year? I just want to fade some action.
I don't really have anybody on their team because I don't really think they have that guy that's really emerged this season.
I just need to know for some future bets. If you start hyping up Xavier Worthy, I'll start fading Xavier Worthy.
Yeah, with this year, they just don't really have that guy on the team like they usually do. That's why I keep saying, like, this training camp is kind of boring. They don't really have, like, as much as we talked about the tight end, the Jared Wiley, he hasn't really, like, no one's really emerged as the guy that we all love and all of those things. Yeah. Someone said, you guys did call Kelce washed. I 100% said that. I don't even feel bad about that opinion. I think he was washed for most of the season, and then he just became, I don't know what happened. I was actually reading a story about it. In the regular season, Travis Kelce averaged 65 yards per game, and then in the postseason, he averaged 88 yards a game. I don't feel bad about my Kelce could be washed take that I had over the course of the season. No, I wear that one proudly. I wear the Kelce was cooked. I wear it proudly that I saw it before everybody else saw it. And then, yeah, you're right. I took a lot of arrows for it. No one wanted to be the one to say it. And then, like, week 12, it became the it thing for everybody. It's like, no, hold on. I told you guys this. I told you guys this when they beat Minnesota in week 3. I said Kelce seemed like he was a little bit off and running different. You guys came up with all the excuses in the world why he wasn't good. Then he got a week off like old people need. And then he bounced back, and he was phenomenal in the playoffs. I mean, he averaged 65 yards a game last year when he played. He looked cooked for the, especially in the second half.
Mm-hmm.
Kelce didn't have a touchdown the last 2 months of the regular season. No, Kelce looked cooked last year.
He had 400 yards less in 2023 than in 2022. We were wrong because that 1 week of rest did the body right.
Bro, I ain't never seen nothing like that before. He was a new man.
If we're going to name things we were wrong about, I was saying in week 7 or week 18, just play Kelce, get him to 1,000 yards because there's nothing left in the season to play for.
No, you were saying that.
That was, I said, get that 1,000 yards.
You buried him way before.
Oh, yeah.
I never buried the Chiefs. You remember, I kept saying, hey, if the Chiefs are going to do this thing, these are the things they need to do. They need to rely on the run game. They need to rely on the run game. Patrick Mahomes needs to quit turning the ball over so much and lean into the defense. That's kind of what happened. And you remember my take almost the whole season in text line. You guys are with me on this one. 913-586-7610. I kept saying that they needed to pare this thing down like a basketball team. That they were trying to get too many people involved in the offense. They tried to get 7-8 people. They would go into some games. Justin Watson was the number one target. Then Kadarius Toney was the number one market. This team started to figure it out when they just quit throwing the ball to bad receivers. When they quit throwing the ball to Kadarius Toney and Sky Moore, and then they moved MVS down the depth chart, it's not a surprise to me that their offense got a little bit more consistent the second half of the season. I know I was saying that last year. Text line, you know I said that.
I did bury them before you. I 100% buried them before you.
Yeah, of course you did. You're a negative human being.
I remember saying it. You were like, just pare down the offense, play defense,
yeah.
Run the football, throw it to Rice. And I was like, super, your plan is 0-1 Ravens. That's not going to work.
It worked.
And it worked.
It worked. Yeah, they won the Super Bowl. No.
But so. You know what? I'm pretty sure there was a clip of me hating on the team and the franchise. So you're welcome, Chiefs.
Yeah, no, you gave them fuel.
You gave them the juice they needed.
So I guess the core of the last 8 minutes or so is I don't have any problem wearing my bad takes. That's the job. When I get things wrong, you guys let me know. I also got to let you know when I get things right. We need checks and balances. We need order in this world. There were some things I absolutely got wrong last season. I got a lot right on the Chiefs last year. A lot right on the team. I had a really good feel of the 2023-2024 Kansas City Chiefs. Had a really good feel on how they could win. And they did it. They ended up winning. I didn't think they were going to win the Super Bowl, but they ended up figuring things out soon enough and ended up working. All right, coming up on the other side, Rob. You know what? Let's switch gears just a little bit. We will get back to baseball soon enough. I do want to talk about the Royals, but let's talk a little bit of college football. So ESPN has been going list crazy over the last couple of weeks. They made a list of the top 25 college football players since 2000. They have a terrible list. I'll tell you what it is. Keep it right here, Sir Drive.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.